Hey, welcome to Life Church. We pray this blesses you and empowers you for your week ahead. We hope you enjoy this message.
Today, then, we're going to start a journey, which we're going to run over the coming weeks on a sort of new topic, and something that I feel God had put on my heart several months ago, and then it was one of those things that I just kept bumping into it everywhere I went. It's like, a bit like when you see a new car that you've never seen before, and you think, oh, that's new and unusual, and then you see like 20 in the next like 2 days. They just seem to be everywhere. It just seemed to be something that God drew my attention to and the attention of a number of us on the team. And we all started talking about it and sharing the same language. It started to shout for our attention. And the more that we've looked at it and the more that we've sort of read and searched the word and prayed about it, the more sort of little light bulb moments we've had, that it just makes a lot of things make sense. It's given us a bit of a language for some things that have been going on in our heart and in the life of church. And also a kind of lens to look through to go, ah, oh, I see it that way now. And that makes sense. And you're all really interested what it is now, aren't you? I know. Well, before I tell you fully what it is, I'm going to set you a little task. If you have a notepad or you have a pen, get it out now. This is your moment. And we're going to have a little art competition. Yes, all the artists, Davinda just got excited, all the artists. So if you've got a pen, and here's the thing, you're only going to get 30 seconds, this is a quick one, okay? If you haven't got a pen and a notepad, because you're all digital, just use your mind, draw it in your mind, okay? Here's what I want you to draw. I want you to draw a picture of church. Go. 30 seconds. Draw church. There isn't any prizes, I'm going to be honest. I might mark them on the way out. I'll stand at the door and give you an A, B, or C. But just quickly draw a church. Okay. Now that you've got that beautiful picture of a church, let me ask you a question. How many people drew something that would probably have stained glass in it? Few. Oh, no. How many people drew something like with a steeple? Oh, a few more. How many people just drew a picture of this building? That was the obvious one, guys. One person. Brilliant. Well done. How many people thought, I know where he's going with this? The church is not a building, Jock. The church. The church is the people, and you drew worshipy hands, smiley face. Yes, there we go, there you are. I'm going to be honest, that's not where I'm going, but you are correct, you are correct. What I want to point out to you is, if we'd asked the early church, the church that started with Jesus and his disciples, if we'd asked them to draw a church, they would have drawn probably a table. They wouldn't have drawn buildings like we think of, or probably what you drew. They most likely would have drawn a table, because the early church experience was the experience of being sat at a table. And we're going to investigate that together. You see, Jesus set the precedent of sitting at the table. When we go back to the story of there's too many scriptures to read, so I'm just going to sort of give you an overview. But Jesus sat at the table for the Last Supper, and he reclined with the disciples, and they ate and drank, and that's where we get the communion meal from, where he broke the bread and gave them the wine. And that is where he met and gathered, and they were gathered around the table. And often from that moment, the early church, the gathering was around a meal. That's what church was. If you said, I'm going to church, it was a meal. In fact, they called it, historians tell us, the agape feast. That was like your weekly meeting, which basically means the love feast. Now, if we call our church service a love feast, pretty sure we'd end up in the papers, let's be honest. But that is what a church service was. A church service was a gathering to eat. Let me read this to you from Acts 2. It's well-known scripture. We've shared it before. Acts 2, 42, talking about the early church, says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, with many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Everywhere you look through the Old Testament, whether I read Romans 16 or Colossians 1 or Philemon 1, every time Paul and the epistles that they're addressing the church, they often write to those that meet in your home. The church was a home, a family experience. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, when you get together to eat, and then starts to talk to them about how to do church services, it's almost this presupposition that, well, you will have a meal though. Like, that's where you'll start. You'll start around the table, and then you'll go on to do prayer and worship and these other things. And what I found from this, and I'm going to get slightly geeky for a minute, if that's okay. I felt it was an interesting study, and I want to share a couple of points with you from it. An interesting study about how the architecture of church relates to the stages of the church's development over history. Some of you just absolutely glazed over there. But honestly, this is interesting, right? Track with me. I'll be like 90 seconds. Okay. Think about the stages of church history. The church was meeting in homes around the tables. What happened next was that the church moved into temple courts, often temples that were for other gods at the time as it spread out. But there were still just large open spaces where the family of God would gather. Then when Christianity got legalized, because they were still under oppression at that point, when it got legalized, they started to build what we would call like churches. And effectively, we went into this period where cathedrals were built. And people would spend hundreds of years building. I mean, literally, it took hundreds of years to build some of the cathedrals that we see today. And they were massive buildings given to the glory of God. But the center of those places was the altar. It was all about holiness and the reverence of God. And coming into that presence. We've all been into probably those buildings and it's so noisy and echoey and yet you feel you have to be quiet. Even though nobody's saying be quiet, there's an awe about it. But the center is still the altar. And at that point, the meal that we were round to eat became a sip of wine and a wafer. We moved away from that everybody gathers to eat. We now move towards taking the communion elements. Then we move, I'm really skipping through history here, but the Reformation, where we basically move from the altar to the pulpit. We stopped focusing on coming to the altar of God and we started moving towards somebody because literacy wasn't that strong and now the Bible was later being able to be printed and replicated. And now people would come to hear the word of God and come to listen and receive not necessarily at an altar, but at a pulpit. And then after that, we basically get much more modern times where church became a church hall. It became the center of community and community life came out of the church. And then later on still, the element of music and sung worship, first through the pipe organ and now through different means, became much more central. And church developed into what we're in now, which is a much more theater style, which has a platform and people facing the platform while people bring things from the platform. Okay? See, painless, wasn't it? There you go, a little history. Now, oh yes, you can clap that if you want. I didn't do that research, I just read it, but there you go. Each shift in style became the normal. So if you went into history at any one of the points and you asked people to draw a church or what church was, that is what they would say because that was the normal. And I'm not casting judgment here on any of those elements and how church has been, but what I want to suggest is that knowing our origin, knowing where we came from, could it be that we need to look back and go, is there things that we need to reclaim from those times? Is there some value in something from our origin stories, the church, that we need to reach back into and say, hey, I know we've added and I know we've had these great progressions, but have we maybe lost something along the way? Is there something that we need to go back to? Because when I think about the table represents so many things. It doesn't just represent the meal, that togetherness that it represents. At a table, I see a picture of a table. It's a place for all people. There's room for everyone at the table. There's provision at the table. And that's one of the things that the early church were known for when they had those meals, because people that couldn't afford food or people that were marginalized in society could also come to the meal and they too would get fed. Around the table, there's a level of authenticity and connection and communion together. Around the table, I believe there is healing, there is comfort, there is challenge, there's connection that you don't get in another setting. It takes being sat around the table. There's unity and there's strength there. And what I want to be really just careful with is I'm not jumping off the deep end here and saying that the way church is now is negative or bad. I think all the way through history we've learned and we've built through those generations over those centuries. And thank God for the way we get to do church now. But it's not an either or. It's about going back and reclaiming and looking. And because, you know, they still met in the temple courts. And I think God loves big church. I think God looks at when we can combine and do something together. And I think that's why in the Bible we have pictures of the body, that we are all supposed to be just connecting. All the different connecting parts are supposed to come together to do something that glorifies his name. And we can do things that we couldn't do as twos or threes when we all get together like this. And I love it that many things that we do are actually not a platform, they're a table. Like this thing is one of the biggest tables that we have. That's what this is, and that's what I mean by the language and the lens. This is a table. Because so many can come and feast from this table when we preach the word of God or we sing worship. People can gather around this table like we are today and like you are today watching at home. And we can do things because of this table that we couldn't do in any other way. Let me give you an example. Last 2 weeks ago at Easter, there was one lady who was watching online at home, and she had a knock on the door, and it was her neighbor who was a Muslim, and said, well, nobody's ever asked me this before. They said, can I come and worship your God with you today? Okay. So the lady slammed the door in her face. No, she didn't. Of course she didn't. She showed hospitality and love and welcomed her and said, yeah, come. And they put online church on together and they watched the service. And at the end of the service, the lady with tears coming down her cheeks said to the lady, if I committed my life, if I became a Christian, I mean, the implications of that are huge. I would be cast out of my society, it would be. But from what I've just heard, what do I need to do to get saved? Amazing. And right there in the front room, this woman met Jesus. That's amazing. Now how did that happen? Because we created this platform to go out with the worship team and all of us that make this community of believers. We've created a table here where people can come and get fed. And that's why this August, I'm so excited to say, Rock Nations will be happening this year. Why? Because I believe we have a responsibility to lay a table for our young people from all over the country and further afield to say, hey, come and feast at the table. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Come and enjoy what he has got for you. We've got to be good stewards of these resources that we've got. We've got, and I know I just volunteered you all to help there, but hey. But why? Because we've been entrusted with much. And so we've got to share out and say, hey, young people who have had a time of such upheaval and disappointment and trial, it's been a really tough time, not just because of the secularization of society, but because of all that's happened with COVID and everything. We've got to support our young people. We want to see young people that are grown up full of the knowledge and the wisdom and the glory of God that are impacting their world, not being beaten down by what's going on. So we're like, no, we're going to put a stake in the ground. We're going to lay a table here. And that's what I mean by the lens. It's not an event. It's a table. We're laying a table and we get to serve that table. We get to wait on that table. We get to put some beautiful things, some healthy things on that table. We might take all the chocolate away and put some fruit on it. Kids, this is what you need, young people. This is what you need to be feasting on. We've got to put some good things on that table and create an environment where they can come and meet with a living God who wants to be intimate with them at the table. So that's why this is the biggest table that we've got. So I'm in no way speaking against this, but I'm just saying, can we maybe look back and learn and add value from what has gone before? Can we recapture some of those things? And that's why we've called this the art of table living. It's something that Jesus started and we follow on. And I like that we called it the art of table living, because we could have called it the call to table living, because I believe this is what we're called to, as we'll see in a moment, as I just look quickly at the life of Jesus. But slightly left field, but go with me. Our daughter is 14. I know I don't look old enough to have a 14-year-old daughter, but she's been at that point where she has to choose GCSEs. And you can't like choose everything. So we had to speak to different teachers. And one of the teachers we spoke to was about art. And we said to the art teacher, you know, could she do this and then pick that up later? And the teacher said, well, what you've got to understand about art is developing a skill in art is about learning techniques and things that you add one on top of the other. And if you miss this stage and that stage, you've got to add them all so that in time you get to this point. It's about one thing on top of another, on top of another. And that's what I want to put to us today, that there's some building blocks that we're going to have to learn and grow in so that we can truly take hold of this art of table living that we're called to learn. So best place to start, where should you start? Every pastor knows this, the Bible and Jesus. There we go. So that's where we're going to start. So we're going to look straight at the life of Jesus. Now, I'm incredibly blessed because I have a beautiful wife, but I also have a very smart wife. It's the same wife. That could have got awkward. What kind of church is this? Same one. She's smart and beautiful. And one of the things she likes to do, which is a little bit geeky, babe, is word searches in the Bible, not like word searches in a grid, like word searches in the Bible, and study different words in the original language and in the original text. And one of the words that so she started searching around tables and various words to do with it. And we found, we found something very interesting. But she did, wrote it down and gave it to me, which was that there's a word that is in the Bible that refers to reclining at the table. And in the times that this was written around Jesus' life, that was people's most comfortable place. That was the place they would recline at a table where they felt most at home, where they were being most authentic, where they were most themselves around other people. And there's three places in the New Testament that this word is used about Jesus and the tables that he reclined at. And I don't think it's a coincidence what these words represent and also the flow that they give us. And so I want to tell you what these three things are. The first one is found in Matthew 26, verse 7. It says, I won't tell you the whole story. We'll just look at the individual scripture for time's sake. But a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured out on his head, that's Jesus, as he was reclining at the table. This first table that I want us to talk about, this first table that Jesus reclined at, this was a place where this expensive perfume was taken and broken. It reminds me of, and the people around said, oh, we shouldn't do that. And Jesus was like, no, this is the right thing to be done. It reminds me of the story of Mary and Martha, where one of the Marthas all busy and Mary's just sat at Jesus' feet. And Martha says, tell her she should be doing more. And Jesus says, no, it's right for Mary to sit at my feet. What was this table? I'm talking about the table of worship. The table of worship. This is one of the tables that we're called to live around, especially today in our world, which is full of distractions. I know we looked at it at the start of the year, and I won't speak long on it now, but this idea that our whole mission is to seek first him. And so the question is this: is my life positioned around the table of worship, or am I doing TV dinners and cereal bars on the go? Is my life, am I leaning my life towards being around him and worship? Because again, the table speaks of intimacy and time together. And that's how we're invited to live. And Jesus is inviting us to a table to experience his power, to experience his presence, to experience his perspective. And yet, we're not always pulling up the chair and sitting down. God has answers for your family. He has answers for your business. He has answers for your future and for your study. He has answers for your finance. He has answers for relationships. But we've got to pull up the chair and sit down at the table and just enjoy his presence. Find his perspective. Understand his heart. Develop that closeness. It's about an intentionality. Am I pursuing that presence in all areas? And I think I love these ideas of the table because they're not just for us as individuals, they're also for us as a church. You know, as we seek to put him first in every area, and like Benny spoke about in the worship, to exalt him over the circumstances of life. That's the core of our worship, to put that worship in our homes, to put that worship in our families and in our kids. And as a church, it's so important that we continue to seek and savor the presence of God. Because when we have his glory, nothing else matters. When we just seek him and his power of his presence, and I love today that we were singing about the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm like, yeah, I just need it all. I've got so many things that I just need your help with. I don't even know what the question is or what I need, but I know that I need him. And we just have to be, I just want us as a church to just so fall in love again with his presence, with worship, with honoring him, with loving him, with pouring out our hearts to him. And I think, if anything, around this table, my prayer is this: let us be known as a people that pursue the presence of God, both individually in our own lives and corporately as a church. Let us be known as a people that pursue the presence of God. The second table Jesus reclined at is found in Luke 24, verse 30. While he was reclining at the table with them, he took bread, spoke a blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. I referred to this earlier. It was around the Last Supper when Jesus is with his disciples. This table represents the table of family. We are designed for relationship. We are designed to be together. And Jesus is calling us into relationship with one another. We've spoken about this before, but it's so important that we continue to understand it. You see, we live in a Western individualistic culture, but the Bible, this was written in what would be known as a strong group culture, where everything isn't about me and what I can get. It's about us and us as a community and how my living benefits the community. The highest level of connection you could have in those communities was not through marriage, but it was through being a brother or sister. That was your core commitment, your first commitment. And that's why the Bible uses this language. That's why Jesus said some pretty tasty things like, who is my brother and who is my mother? It's like, that's a little bit offensive, Jesus. But he was saying, no, but we're in a new family now. This is your family. You might be a single person in here. You might be an orphan person in here. You might be somebody with no connections in this place. You have brothers, mothers, sisters, aunties, uncles, granddads. You have kids. We're all in this room together. Well, some of the kids are over there. But you know, this is the family of God. And we each have something to impart into the other. The family is so important. And we're called to live that way. We're called to sit around a table, to laugh, to have fun, to strengthen one another, challenge one another. I believe that's where healing comes. That's where comfort comes. So many things are resolved when we gather around the table. There's an author called Leonard Sweet, and he said this: an untabled faith is an unstable faith. I love that thought. Why? Because when you're in each other's lives and you're sharing things, that might be through life group or just different connections, but we're called to do this together. And I would love us just to continue to look to that, because, you know, if the table of worship is about looking up, the table of family is about looking around. And saying, we have a primary call to one another. I remember when Shirley and I first got married, I remember being sat in somebody's kitchen, just having a massive row with each other. It was about money, actually. And the couple that we were with, so, this is awkward. But then we got to chat and say, well, Cheryl, why do you feel like about that? Well, I just feel, you know, well, Jock, why do you, well, shall we pray about it? And that kind of thing, when you sit with other people and you just share those things. And I think, to be honest, as a pastor, like, you could save me a lot of work, guys, by just getting around a table and talking things out. I was hit today. I listened to an interview this week by the daughter of Rodney King, 30 years on since that happened in LA. And the question was, have we moved on? And it's a difficult question to answer, because in many ways, by we see what we see in the news, the answer is no. Clearly, we haven't moved on. And yet, you just think, man, can we just get around a table? Can we learn to love one another, to grow together, to be together, to embrace diversity? I love that the church is a picture of that, and that we get to embrace that diversity. So we just come as we are, and I love that. So we look up, we look around, and I love that the table that Jesus sat at, it was a totally dysfunctional table. And we think, oh, we have to be, you know, God's not asking us to be perfect. He's just asking us to get together. Around Jesus' table, there was a traitor, a denier, two people trying to work out who was the favorite. It's like, it's all kicking off. And then Jesus is just like, hey, I'm just going to serve you. I want to wash your feet. I want to provide for you. I want to give you some wisdom. I want to give you some encouragement. And that's what happens around the table. And it doesn't need to be perfect. And I just want to encourage us. You know, one of our greatest ministries as a church family should be towards each other. You know, Jesus, the Bible says, they will know you're my disciples, because you love one another. That, and so I want to encourage us. Let's thank God for that. So again, as a church family, we want to do, as a church together, we want to do all that we can do. But I can't send people around to your house to say, go and have dinner with them. But what we can do is we can look around. I love what Rich said last week. He goes, I purposely bring my kids' lunch boxes so that they can sit down in the coffee shop so I can stay afterwards and be around the family of God. And I love that. And I think there's more ministry happens out here than happens in here. Because you are all ministers of the gospel. You are all sin. You all have something to give. You can all encourage someone. And today you can do ministry in that coffee shop. That's why we leave the place open. That's why we're blessed to have that space. Because that is what, again, it's what we're called to do. So what we're going to do, we just thought it'd be fun, is in 2 weeks' time, we're going to have a family meal together. Yeah. Like, all of us. How's that going to work, Jock? I don't really know. But somehow, we're going to find enough tables. There might be a few emergency chair situations. Somebody on the piano stool. Somebody on the stool from the kids' room. We're going to deck the place out in tables. We're going to try and pray that it's sunny so we can spill outside. And in 2 weeks' time, we're going to have a family meal. And the idea is, you bring your food, and we'll decide once and for all which is the better jollof rice, Ghanaian or Nigerian. Have a little jollof off. I nearly started a riot there. But let's do it. Let's get together. And let's sit with people. Here's a thought. Sit with somebody that doesn't look like you. Because I tell you what. Families, get some single people in your world. Single people. Put yourself in a family. Young adult, sit with somebody that's older and wiser. Let's be the family of God together. I'm running out of time, but the third one. Sorry, also, I can't go on without saying. One of the best ways to get around the table is life groups. And life groups, please understand, life groups are not one size fits all. You have to meet every other Tuesday night and read the Bible for this length of time with these people. It's not how it works in this church. We want to create whatever opportunity helps you and brings that connection around you. So if you have never got into a life group before, we want to help you do that. There's a great table out there at reception. And you can go there and we will help get you into a life group. If you've tried to get into a life group before and either we've messed it up or you haven't turned up or whatever, just go again. Let's get you connected, because it's so many good things happen. The final table. Oh, sorry, my prayer for this table would be, let us be known as a family that love one another deeply. And let us be known as a family that love God's presence and love one another deeply. The final table is this. In Mark 2, verse 15, it says, "And as he reclined at the table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him." I believe that we're called to look up, and we're called to look around, but we're also called to look outwards. And this is this great flow that I spoke about. You see, I believe that if we can, we're focused on God and we're filled with his heart and we're filled with love for him, then we will love one another. And out of that strengthening and encouragement and challenge and support that comes from here, that will cause us to have the greatest impact outside of here. And Jesus was known for reclining at the table with people that didn't belong in church, with people from the fringes of society, people that were even hated in society. Jesus sat with them all. And this table is the table of community. There's room at the table for everybody. And again, as a church family, we can try and facilitate things. Like, we want to do more like community fun days like we did in our local community. We've got some other plans coming up. We want to lay tables where we say to people, come and see, come taste and see the Lord is good. We put on events, and they're not events, they're tables. We create these things, but that's a small part. That's what we can all do together. But you individually, you are creating a table every day, whether it be on those Zoom calls, at that reception desk, whether it be on the shop floor, in your forklift truck, whatever it is that you do, that's your table. And what will people find at your table? Do people find hope and inclusion and openness, like that woman who got the knock at the door? Of course she didn't slam the door in her face. She opened it and said, yeah, come and receive. Let's come and sit together. Let's pull up tables together. And I believe that we're called to live looking out. I love it what it says in Romans 12. In the Message version, it says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. And my prayer, as time's going, my prayer would be that we would be known as a people that actively express God's love to the world around us. As we sort of come to a close, I'm reminded when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment in all the world? He said simply, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't it interesting that the three tables are about the same thing? Love God and worship, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. That we have this love together, and there's a love that pours out. And I tell you this, I fully believe that nothing can defeat a church that lives from those tables. A church that says, we are focused on him, we love one another, we're strengthening one another, so our marriages are stronger, our families are stronger, our kids are stronger, our faith is encouraged, we have a boldness and a courage because of the connections that we have, and therefore we can go out and make this world a better place. We can stand up in our workplaces, we can go and make a difference because of what God is doing on the inside of us. There's no argument that can tear that down, there's no boundaries to that, there's no walls that can be put up when the church acts like that. And I just love us. That's my prayer for us as a church family, that as we grow in this art of table living, that we would be people that focus on his presence, that love one another deeply, and that from that love, reach out with an all-inclusive that says, come to the table and taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. We pray you feel encouraged by this word. We would love to hear from you, so why not connect with us via the website at lifechurchhome.com or on our socials at Life Church Home. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you soon.